content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today, our first story is We Love Our Dad. Now, this month is June, and do you remember what special day happens in June on the third Sunday of June, to be exact? It's Father's Day. So, today, we're going to read the first story, which is about Father's Day. Okay, here we go. We love our dad. Sister, brother, and Honey Bear love their papa. They loved him very much. After all, he was always there for them. He baited their hooks when they went fishing. He threw them fly balls when they wanted to play catch. He was their sled puller on their way to the top of Dead Bear Hill in the winter. He carried them on his shoulders when they got tired and rushed them to the doctor when they were hurt. He told them funny stories and corny jokes. He read to them at bedtime, tucked them in, and kissed them good night. Yes, the cubs certainly loved their Papa Bear, but sometimes they took him a bit for granted. After all, he was always there. They never even noticed some of the things he did, like working. Papa worked very hard. He worked in his shop all day, making furniture. He worked fixing things up around the house. He worked doing chores like mowing the lawn or shoveling snow or taking out the trash. It's true that Papa Bear enjoyed working, but he did enjoy getting credit for it sometimes, too. One warm spring morning, not long after Mother's Day, the cubs were talking about what they should do for Father's Day. Mama was nearby, listening to them. Let's make Papa a big family album with pictures of us doing stuff with him. We just gave Mama an album like that for Mother's Day, said Brother. Oh, yeah, said Sister. Honey Bear was looking out the window, watching Papa mowing the lawn. Papa working, she said. What's that, Honey, asked Mama. Papa working, said Honey, pointing. Said Mama. Honey just had a good idea. She did? Asked Brother and Sister. Honey was the little one, the little bear. Yes, said Mama. Your papa works very hard. It would be a nice gift if you cubs did his job for him on Father's Day and let him relax. Now they thought about it. It was true. Papa did work all the time. He could use a rest. Way to go, Honey Bear, said Sister and Brother, both giving little Honey high fives. The cubs decided to make gift certificates that Papa could cash in for jobs they would do. All that day, they followed him around, spying on him. They checked off the jobs he did on a clipboard. Carrying wood, said Sister. Carrying wood, check, said Brother. Check, said Honey. Painting the garage, said Sister. Painting the garage, check, said Brother. Check, said Honey. Replacing loose tree bark on the treehouse, said Sister. Replacing loose tree bark. Check, said Brother. Check, said Honey. The cubs followed Papa the next day, too. They didn't put furniture making on their list because they did not know how to make furniture. But they did check off things like trimming the rose bushes, putting up fence rails, and cleaning out the basement. That evening, they made a gift certificate for each job. The cubs couldn't wait for Father's Day to arrive so they could surprise him with their special gift. And on this page are pictures of the gift certificates. One was good for clean the workshop. One gift certificate was for washing the car. One gift certificate was for mowing the lawn. Another one was for taking out the trash. Another was for cleaning the attic, and another one was for planting grass. On Father's Day, the cubs woke up bright and early. They waited until nearly 6 a.m. before running into Mama and Papa's room and jumping on the bed. "Happy Father's Day, Papa," they yelled. "Huh? What?" said Papa sleepily. "Is it Father's Day?" "Of course it is," said the cubs. "Open your present." And they gave him a big envelope. Papa Bear thought it was a card. "Why, thank you," he said. But when he opened it, the gift certificate spilled out. "What's this?" he asked. "They're gift certificates for you can cash in for us to do your jobs, explained Brother. "You can just relax all day." "Well, what a thoughtful gift," said Papa. "It was Honey's idea," said Sister. "Thank you, Honey," said Papa, giving all his thoughtful cubs a great big hug. That was a nice present, wasn't it? "I think I'd like to spend the day just watching baseball," said Papa. "It's Father's Day," said Mama. "You can do whatever you like." "Wow," said Papa, settling down in his easy chair in front of the TV. "I could get used to this." Papa cashed in his gift certificates, and the cubs set to work. Their first job was to wash the car. It was dirty. They got out buckets, soap, cloths, and a garden hose. They scrubbed and washed and rinsed. But the car still seemed a little dirty. "Papa," they called, "we're having trouble. Can you help us?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need more elbow grease. I'll show you." So Papa and the cubs scrubbed and washed and rinsed together. When they were done, the car was bright and clean and shiny. "Now you go and relax now," said the cubs. "We'll do the rest." Their next job was cleaning up the wood chips in Papa's shop. The cubs got out dustpans, brooms, and a shop vacuum and set to work. They swept and cleaned and vacuumed. But the shop still looked a little dirty. "Papa," they called, "we're having trouble. Can you help us?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need to give it more oomph. I'll show you." So Papa and the cubs swept and cleaned and vacuumed together. When they were done, the shop was spick and span. It really was. It was nice, so nice and clean. "You go and relax now, Papa," said the cubs. "We'll do the rest." Their next job was spreading the grass seed on the bare spots in the lawn. The cubs got out rakes and bags of seed. Brother raked the hard packed earth, while Sister and Honey spread the seed. But they soon got tired. There were still a lot of bare spots left. "Papa," they called, "we're having trouble. Can you help us?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need a little more muscle power, and I'll show you." So Papa and the cubs raked and spread the seed. When they were done, every bare spot on the lawn was covered with new seed. "Now you go and relax now, Papa," said the cubs. "We'll do the rest." But Papa shook his head. "Actually," he said, "I'm getting bored just watching TV. It's more fun doing things with you. What shall we do next?" "Well, how about a game of baseball?" said Brother. "Perfect," said Papa. So the whole family played ball. Brother, Sister, and Honey took turns pitching, batting, and fielding. Papa was the catcher, and Mama was the ump. A wonderful Father's Day was had by all. At bedtime, the cubs took turns jumping off their beds onto a big cushion. "It isn't fair," said Brother as Papa helped him into his pajamas. "There's a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. Well, why isn't there a Cubs Day?" Papa smiled at Mama Bear. "I haven't the faintest idea, he said. Papa and Mama tucked the cubs in and turned out the light. "Did you have a good Father's Day, Papa?" asked Sister. "Yes, sweetie," said Papa, kissing her, Brother, and Honey. "All good night. It was the best Father's Day ever." So what do you know that makes you know that there is no Cubs Day? Don't you think it's because Mama and Papa look after their cubs all the time and make them special and look after them in very special ways. They don't need a special Cubs Day because every day is Cubs Day for a mama and a papa. Our next story is Princesses Wear Pants, and it's by Savannah Guthrie and Allison Oppenheim. Princess Penelope Pineapple was her name, with brown eyes, pink cheeks, and pigtails of fame. The one thing more admired than her long, flowy tresses was her closet full of tiaras and dazzling dresses. Princess Penny was the daughter of the king and the queen. Atop Pineapple Castle, she could often be seen with her brother Philippe and the royal cat, Miss Fuzzy Wiggles. Miss Fussy Wiggles. What a silly name is that? A proper young lady, Penny could paint, sing, and dance. But did you know about her collection of pants? And here she has a, there's a picture of all her pants. She has so many different colored, funny-looking pants, some with flowers, some with dots and dashes on them, and some plaid, and some green bell-bottoms, and some little shorts with flowers all over them, some cowboy pants, all sorts of different colored pants. Crowns and gowns have their place, no doubt, but that's not all this girl was about. She loved to sparkle, loved ruffles too. "But I wear pants 'cause I've got things to do," she says. Each morning the sun would rise, Penny got up to exercise. She'd pull on her yoga pants and a t-shirt, because for a workout, of course, there is no place for a skirt. Tending to the garden was a very big job. Growing tomatoes and corn on the cob. "To feed those in need of a meal is my duty," said the princess in pants, paying no mind to duty. No mind to beauty. There she's growing corn, and she's in her garden, and she's growing tomatoes. A pilot in the Pineapple Air Command, she did high-flying tricks while guarding the land. In her sequined flight suit, Penny never was scared. She flipped and flew higher than the others dared. And Penny hosted the Pineapple Science Fair, a place for kids with ideas to share. With solar cars, robots, and cures for the sick, her lab coat and corduroys did just the trick. But sometimes Penny just liked to unwind, wearing comfy old jeans, the patched-up kind. She'd read books or daydream or write a long letter to great-grandma Pineapple to make her feel better. Then came the night of the Pineapple Ball, the event of the season, come one, come all. Ladies and gents in their costumes so fine, sipping pineapple punch. Oh, how divine! Grand Lady Busy Boots would surely be there, with her wagging finger and disapproving stare. "Pants have no place on a lady," she'd say. "That's how it's been, and that's how it should stay." Penny gazed at her gowns, all lined up in a row. "If I can't wear pants, then I don't want to go. I'd love to dress up just as pretty as can be, but underneath it all, I still have to be me." And she's trying to decide on her dresses. Once at the ball, Penny forgot all her troubles. The courtyard was brilliant, with baubles and bubbles. As the crowds climbed down the palace staircase, none could imagine what would soon take place, and there was Penny in a very pretty purple ball gown. For just at that moment, a terrible wail came from high above, where a long, furry tail could be seen hanging down from the tower's north wall. It was the royal kitty, trying hard not to fall, and there was Miss Fussy Boots, hanging on for dear life by her claws. "Miss Fussy!" screeched Penny. The music then stopped. Every eye turned upward, every jaw dropped. Kerplunk went the cat in the moat down below, her royal kitty coat soaked from ear to toe. Poor little cat. Prince Philippe cried out as he fell to his knees. She cannot help swim. She cannot swim. Someone help her, please. I'd save her myself, but my suit would get wet. I'm not dressed to rescue the poor royal pet. Penny was ready, no need for preparing, to spring into action no matter what she was wearing. The crowd thought for sure in her gown she'd be sunk, but under her skirts were her pink swimming trunks. So she threw off her gown and got ready to dive in. She dived into the water and swam toward the cat and rescued Miss Fussy in 5 seconds flat. Miss Fussy in arm, Penny swam back around, slipped on her shoes, and shook off her gown. She handed the cat to a grateful Prince P, who said, "In dresses or trunks, you're braver than me." The kingdom rejoiced and sang Penny's praises. The pineapple princess always amazes. Lady Fussy Boots took the stage and grabbed the mic. From now on, princesses should wear whatever they like. We've all learned a lesson from Penny today. Sometimes our dresses can get in the way. The pineapple kingdom proudly agreed. We must be ourselves as the lady decreed. The princess helped when no one else could. She saved the day, just like a good royal should. Penny smiled and said as she started to dance, "It's what princesses do, and this is why we wear pants." And so everyone enjoyed the special ball. There's the prince, and even Miss Fussy Boots is dancing, and there's Penny dressed up in her skirts again, with her swim trunks still underneath, ready to save another cat if another cat happened to fall into the moat. That's the end of Princesses Wear Pants. This book is Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. I'm sure you've read some Dr. Seuss books before. I think you might have maybe read The Cat in the Hat, or The Cat in the Hat Comes Back, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, Green Eggs and Ham, Fox and Socks, books like that. Or you may have seen the movie called How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and you might have read a book called, oh, there's so many that Dr. Seuss wrote. He wrote such good books, What Pet Should I Get? Or The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins, Horton Hatches the Egg. So many books. I can't even, they take too long to read them all to you. So we're going to read today this one called, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. You are the guy who'll decide where to go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any in case you want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Here he's going out through the fields. Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsy as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers to soar to great heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump. The chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and your chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right, or three and right and three quarters, or maybe not quite, or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind. So many choices in life is what Dr. Seuss is saying. You can get so confused that you'll start in to race down long, wiggled roads at a breathnecking pace, and grind on for miles across weirdish, wild space, headed, I fear, towards a most useless place, the waiting place for people just waiting, waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting, waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a high kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape, and all that waiting and staying, you'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With a banner flip-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, ready because you're that kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go, there is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame. You'll be as famous can be, with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except that they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too, games you can't win, because you'll play against you. All alone. Whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. Ooh, here's a page with some scary, scary, scary figures, and you standing at the gate and trying to decide whether to go through it, because that's where the scary things are. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go through the hack and crack's howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far, and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure where you step. Step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft. And never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So, be your name Bugs Baum or Bixby or Bay or Mordecai Ali Van Allen O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So, get on your way. And that's the end of that book. And what do you think it tells you? It tells you that life is before you and you need to get out there and live it and try your best to be the best that you can be. Our last story comes from the Osborne Book of Princess Stories. So another princess story right now. Stephen Cartwright and Heather Amory are the authors. This is Greystone Castle. This is King Leo and Queen Rose. They have two children called Prince Max and Princess Alice. Today it is raining. What shall we do? Said Max. Let's go up to see Queen Gran in her tower, says Alice. Max and Alice climb all those stairs up the tower. The room is empty. Where's Queen Gran? Asks Alice. She must have gone out, says Max. There's a broomstick. Let's pretend it's a horse, says Alice. Queen Gran says we mustn't touch anything, though, says Max. Alice gets on the broomstick. Look, Max, it's moving. Quick, get on, says Alice. The broomstick flies around the room. What shall we do? Hold on tight, gasps Max. They fly out the window and around the top of the tower. Where are we going? How do you know how to steer a broomstick? Asks Max. I don't know, but I'm not scared, says Alice. There they are, flying around up above the castle. The broomstick flies on. It flies near a very tall tree. Look, says Max, I can see something moving in that tree. It's Lucky, Queen Gran's cat. Poor Lucky is stuck, and she can't get down, says Alice. The broomstick stops near the cat. The cat jumps on. Hold on, Lucky, says Alice, you're safe now. Please take us home, broomstick, says Max. They fly back to the castle, and the broomstick whizzes through the window and stops. Max, Alice, and Lucky the cat jump off. That was fun, said Max. Quick, put the broomstick back in the corner, says Alice. I can hear someone coming. Queen Gran comes in. There you are, my dear, she says. I hope you have been good and not touched anything. Oh, there's Lucky, she says. I've been looking for her everywhere, said Queen Gran. I thought she was lost. We've been a little naughty. But we did find Lucky, said Max. It was the broomstick that found her, said Alice. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.